You turn in your Bibles this evening to Jeremiah chapter 40. Jeremiah chapter 40, we'll take our lesson from that text of Scripture this evening. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you will come back as you have an opportunity. This evening, our lesson takes place right after the fall of the Babylonian captivity and the fall of Jerusalem and the fall of the temple there in 586, the summer of 586 B.C., and what we want to look at this evening is what happens in the weeks and months to follow in a very important lesson dealing with following God's Word and the importance of having God's Word in our life, the importance of asking God for direction. And it reminds me of the scripture reading that we just had with Manoah and his wife. They ask the angel there, what will be the ordering of the child, my version says. How are we supposed to take care of this child? And of course the man says that he's to be raised on the Nazarite vow and so forth. How do you want us to raise this child? That's a great approach and attitude in life. This evening I want to talk a little bit about this statement that is made in our story tonight, that God, that the Lord thy God may show us the way. How often do we ask God for direction? How often do we get up in the morning and ask God for direction? Asking God for direction, is that the first thing on our mind when we get up, or is that the last thing? I fear that we live in a culture today where many people are not asking the Lord for direction, and we need to do that in our lives. Unfortunately today, many people are biblically illiterate. They just do not know the Word of God, and we've got to have God's Word in our lives. If they're not biblically illiterate, they're biblically obstinate. They may have God's Word in their life, but they don't want to obey it. So tonight's lesson is, show us the way. It reminds me of Samson's parents. What will be the ordering of the child? God, you tell me what we're supposed to do here. Parents need to do that with their children. We need to do that in our marriages. We need to do that in our personal lives. And when we're making important decisions about whom we might marry, or a job that we're going to get, or what congregation we're going to worship with, and what we're going to wear, and how we're going to talk, and just so many things in our life. Lord, tell me, show me the way. What a great approach. And we've got to get that back in our life. So I hope that our lesson this evening will help along those matters. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 40, I'm just going to summarize the first two chapters, and then our lesson this evening is taken from chapter 42. First of all, when the Babylonians take away most of the people there in Jerusalem in 586 B.C., they leave a few of the poor in the land, and Jeremiah is left with them, and Gedaliah is made the governor. So Jeremiah remains with Gedaliah after the fall of Jerusalem, and Gedaliah is made the governor. This is typical. Even when you have a foreign power come in, they want someone locally ruling over the people, and he would have to report to Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. So Gedaliah is made governor. And then in chapter 40, verses 13 through 16, there is a threat that is made on the life of Gedaliah, and he ignores that threat. He does not believe that that's credible and that that's going to happen. This typically happens when there's been an upheaval in some sort of national government or change in a nation's life. There's a lot of times there's civil war. There's a lot of times there's upheaval. A lot of times there's infighting. That still goes on today. Who's going to be in control? And so there was some of that going on after the fall of Jerusalem. Then, in chapter 41, verses 1 through 10, a man named Ishmael murders Gedaliah and takes captives to Mizpah. And in chapter 41, 11 through 18, another man, Johanan, delivers these captives, and he wants to move in the direction of Egypt. He wants to start taking people down into Egypt. And so our story this evening begins in Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 1. We'll have our lesson from there this evening. Jeremiah, even after the fall of Jerusalem, continues to give God's word to God's people even after the fall of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan the son of Kariah and Jezaniah the son of Hosheiah and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we pray thee our supplication be presented before thee and pray for us unto Jehovah thy God, even all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as of thine eyes do behold us, that Jehovah thy God may show us the way wherein we should walk and the thing wherein we should do. So there's already been infighting, there's been this assassination, there's been a man named Johanan, he's already wanting to take some people and go down into Egypt, and they come and they ask Jeremiah to pray for them, and then underscore in your Bible that God may show us the way. That's our lesson this evening. And so I want to learn some lessons for our time here this evening. First of all, I'm impressed with this man, Johanan, and the others, in that there is a need for divine guidance before human action. I want you to understand that we need to learn what God wants us to do before we act. We don't act and then turn around and say, God, what do you want me to do? When we get up in the morning, ask God for guidance before you already decide what you want to do. That's the proper order of things. And so we find here that we need to ask God what to do before we act. We need to go to God for guidance in time of need. And it's not just for big things. We've had those recently with health issues and things like that, and we certainly go to God, but I'm talking about what we might call ordinary kinds of things. We need to go to God in time of need. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which you should go. I will counsel thee with mine eye upon thee. Look at the statement there in Jeremiah chapter 42, the way that we should go. As parents and grandparents, we need to be teaching our children and grandchildren to turn to God to find the way to go. We don't turn to humanism. We don't turn to secular education. We don't turn to the philosophies of this life. We turn to God that He might show us the way that we should go. Notice how they came and they asked Jeremiah to pray unto the Lord for us. We need to approach Him with humility, and we need to approach Him with confidence, and we need to approach Him with obedience. As we're going to see here in just a minute, their problem was not wanting to know the right way. Their problem was the answer. And so we'll talk about that in just a minute. But to lay the groundwork, we need to learn the lesson to go to God before we act, before we act. There are people who will get into an unscriptural marriage and then they'll turn to the Bible and see what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And when you go to talk with them about it, they're already in that unscriptural marriage. They've already made up their mind, and often they don't want what the Bible teaches about that. There are people who make decisions about this or that, and then by the time they turn to the Bible, they don't want the answer. They've already got their mind made up. So I want you to underscore this evening, not just going to God for help, but you've got to do that before you act, before your mind is made up, before you've already laid down habits and relationships and other kinds of things. Very, very important. But not only is there a need to go to God before we act, but turn with me now to Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 4. There's a second lesson that we need to learn, and that is that when somebody wants to know what God's word is, we need to declare the whole counsel of God to them. Verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto Jehovah your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing Jehovah shall answer, underscore that, Whatsoever thing Jehovah shall answer, I will declare unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. It reminds me of Paul in Acts chapter 20 when he said to the Ephesian elders, I have not shrank from declaring anything unto you but the whole counsel of God. And so I'm not going to hold anything back. Not only do we need to go to God for divine guidance, but we need to declare the whole counsel of God. I'm not going to hold anything back. We need to declare all of God's Word. We need to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Sometimes when somebody around us wants to know what God says about a certain matter, we hold back. Because we don't want to tell all of the truth. We know that it might be offensive to some of them, or it might go contrary to the way they were raised or what they've always believed. The first thing Jeremiah said, whatever God says, I'm going to declare. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering, you see. There's going to come a time, Paul says to Timothy, when they will have itching ears and they will not endure sound doctrine. But you've got to preach everything to them. There are times when our children need to hear all of the truth. There are times when our friends and members of the church need to hear all of the truth. And it does us no good to go to God for guidance if when He gives it to us, we don't give the whole message, the whole counsel of God. So what a commendable thing in the mind of Jeremiah to not hold anything back. We need to preach all the truth, and we need to preach it to all, even when it's unpopular to do so. Paul wrote in Galatians 4, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We need to preach the truth on various topics that are uncomfortable today, unscriptural marriages, and preaching against denominationalism has become unpopular, I'm afraid, among some preachers in churches of Christ. Preaching against immoral kinds of things, abortion and homosexuality. Preaching against fellowship with things that are sinful and erroneous, that's becoming unpopular today. And so, brethren, there are those who want God to show them the way. And as a preacher, I don't mean someone standing in a pulpit like this, but all of us. All of us, when we take the Word of God to others, we need to tell them everything that is the case. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. Consider another lesson this evening. Then they said to Jeremiah, Jehovah be a true and faithful witness among us. If we do not according to all the word wherewith Jehovah thy God will send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of Jehovah our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of Jehovah. And that's when it is well in our lives. It's well in our lives when we obey. It's not well in our lives when we disobey. It's well in our lives when we obey. But I appreciate their attitude at this point, and it's another lesson that we learn, and that is the need to obey everything. We need to have this disposition that I will obey all of God's Word. And look at what they say, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So many people today in society, I'll obey the Word of God when it benefits me, or when it's positive, or when it's already something I like, or if it's already something that I'm doing. How many times have we had Bible discussions with people where they're fine up until the point that they disagree with and then it turns sour? We need to have this attitude, tell me everything, show me everything, whether it's good or evil, and I'm going to do all of it. I appreciate this attitude at this point. Now, we're going to see this evening that unfortunately they don't do that. But at this point, they're to be commended. The way we show our love toward God, 1 John 5 and verse 3, is to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. We can do what God wants us to do. And we need to obey all, not just the portions we like, not just the fun things. You go to a dentist, and when you're leaving, they'll tell you a few things to do, and there's always something. Oh, yeah, except that one thing right there. I'm not a big fan of that one thing right there. The other things are fine. I just wish they wouldn't have listed that one thing that I really don't want to do. Or you go to a doctor and they list this or they list that and you're fine with several of those items. There was just that one thing that you wish that he or she just hadn't put on the list. And yet, that is good for us as well. So let's have the attitude of, God, show me the way. And let's have the attitude of, when someone is wanting to know what God wants, tell them everything. Tell them all of it. And let's have the attitude that I want to obey all things. But turn with me now to Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 7. Let's continue looking at the text that there is a need to wait for God's answer. There's a need to wait for God's answer. And it came to pass after 10 days. Look at that in your Bible. After 10 days. We're not going to jump the gun. We're not going to get impatient. We're not going to say, well, one day is enough for me. I'm out of here. I'm going to do what I want to do. Let us wait. And so sometimes Bible study takes time. We have to learn what the Bible teaches about certain kinds of things. We live in a culture today where things are just so instant. I like things that are instant. I really like my phone and the instant answers that I can get when I need directions quickly or when I need to know if a store is open. It's 8:30 and I need to know if it's open till 9. I really like that. And there's a place in our lives for instantaneous kinds of things, but learning what God's will for us is not one of those things. Sometimes it will take a while to sit down and study the whole counsel of God and to maybe talk to some older, wiser brethren and to search the scriptures. So, wait. I'm talking about things that involve our eternal salvation. Eternal. Whether it's heaven or hell, that's a very big deal. And so let's wait and get that whole answer. So it came to pass after 10 days that the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah, then called Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, and all the people from the least up even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. They had to wait 10 days. But let's wait. Let's wait and get God's answer. Back when the churches were dividing in the 1950s, some brethren didn't want to wait. They jumped on board real quick with any idea that came along, and some brother would stand up in this lectureship or that lectureship and present an idea, and brethren would jump on it, and elders would jump on it, and it divided the brethren. I told you before about my father who thought one of the ideas was pretty good, and he jumped on that pretty quick until an older brother got a hold of him and they had a Bible study and he changed his mind. It's easy to just jump on board with things and start going with things, and he had to learn better. Slow it down. We're talking about important things, and there's time for good, reasoned, sound Bible study. In fact, brethren, have you ever found situations where once you were already emotionally invested in something, and once you are already relationally invested in it, you don't want to give it up? That's why it's best to study it before it comes up, where you're sitting down with a rational and reasonable and calm situation. But once you get into it and you're invested and there's money involved, the Lord's money and other kinds of things, sometimes pride kicks in and we don't want to admit that we were wrong. That happens all the time in politics and religion and other areas of our life. People get gung-ho into something. They find out later it wasn't the best choice, but they just stick with it anyway and hurt themselves and others around them. So wait and get God's answer. Okay, come with me now to verse 10. Let's have a humble attitude while we are waiting. And let's always sit down and look at what the Bible says first. When you come with me to chapter 42 and verse 10, you find that there is another great lesson here, and that is the need to trust God's wisdom. If you will still abide, Jeremiah says to these people, if you will still abide here in and around Jerusalem in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. This is a statement that Jeremiah has used throughout the book. It's actually told him at the very beginning in chapter 1 that sometimes he would build up and sometimes he would pluck down or pluck up. And they've just recently had a plucking up or a tearing down in the fall of Jerusalem. But God will build them up again. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you, the fall of Jerusalem. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you. What a great promise. I will grant you mercy that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. We've got to trust the Lord. Even if it sounds counter to all reasoning. We've just been squashed by the Babylonians, and now you're asking me to submit to them and trust in them, and I'll build you up again. In fact, Jeremiah had promised back in chapter 29 and other places that there would be a return after the Babylonian captivity, and we know that to be true in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. But you've got to trust this plan. And in the wake of this great devastation, in the weeks and the months following, that's when this chapter 40 to 44 is taking place, in the weeks and months following, and then a few years will go by. Lord willing, we'll be looking at that in part 2 of this lesson. But you've got to trust me. But as we're going to see this evening, they don't want to do it. I don't want to trust God. I don't want to wait. I've already got in my mind what I want to do. We've got to trust the wisdom of the Lord, even though we might feel otherwise. Brethren, God's wisdom is God's will. This is what our course of faith needs to be. It's for our good. It brings blessing. Look at these words that are described of God in verse 11 and 12, delivering and saving and having mercy on you. Wow. Well, Brother Reeves, that just doesn't match with what I've heard at school. That just doesn't match with what my preacher says. That just doesn't match with what my friends in social media are saying. We've got to stay away from that and trust God's wisdom. I'm told to be baptized for the remission of my sins, but in the religious world, I'm told not to be baptized. Who are you going to trust? And daily Bible reading. Well, why do I need to do that? Or why do I need to attend? And again, as I mentioned earlier, the divisions among brethren and churches of Christ. Why do I need to maintain local church autonomy rather than decisions being all given over to a sponsoring eldership? It seems like the sponsoring eldership is the wiser thing to do. It seems like not being baptized is the wiser thing to do. It seems like if you love someone, it's better to stay with them rather than to divorce. Even though, yeah, the Bible says that I'm committing adultery with this person, but it just seems logical, especially if we have children, that I would just stay in this relationship. You see, it's all about, well, what I think and feel and what sounds right. And people do that all the time. You read verses 10, 11, and 12, and I'm sure that sounded counter-rational. But that's what God told them to do. Look with me now at verse 13. Let's consider another lesson, and that is that the need to just be open to the truth. But if you say, we will not dwell in the land, so that you obey not the voice of Jehovah your God, saying, no! Like a little child. Parents, Parents with young children, one of the best things you can do with your little children is do not allow them to talk back to you and say no. Don't allow them to do that. Because when it happens when they're real little, everybody laughs at that. But what happens is they grow up, become teenagers, and they're still saying no. And then they get a little bit older and they shake their fist and, or their finger and say no to God. I'm not going to become a Christian. I'm not going to darken the doors of the church building. So one of the best things you can do is not allow them to say no to you. So, no, we're not going to do that, verse 14. But we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. You see, all of that sounds more reasonable and rational. Now, therefore, hear ye the word of Jehovah, O remnant of Judah. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, if you indeed set your faces to enter Egypt. I want you to underscore that in your Bible this evening, because that's typically what happens in people's lives today. All of the lessons that we're talking about this evening are very common in our culture today. One reason why I wanted to have our lesson tonight is we face these kinds of things all the time. Am I going to listen to God's word or not? But you underscore in your Bible, if you have set your faces to do this, that really is the key to tonight's lesson. Is my face already set in doing what I want to do? If it is, then I'm not going to hear what God says. My mind is already made up. But if your faces are set to go down there to Egypt, well, what is going to happen? Verse 15. And you go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there, and the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you are afraid shall follow hard after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. And Lord willing, in our next part of this lesson, we will look at that. That will happen about 16 to 18 years after this. Nebuchadnezzar will march down into Egypt, just like he did into Jerusalem, and they're going to see him again there. No. No. And that's the attitude of so many today. We've got to believe God and His Word. We've got to follow God and His Word. And we've got to be open to the truth. After the truth is revealed, we need to be open to it, not set our faces to do evil. When Paul was in Berea, they examined the Scriptures and they studied them and they kept an open heart and an open mind. And that needs to be our approach today. When we become closed-minded, we will often become closed to the truth. If you say no. Now, there are people like that today. It's unfortunate. But we've got to help them to see the importance of being open to all the truth. There are so many places in the Word of God that says that God resists the proud, and the proud resist God's word. When Stephen was preaching in Acts 7, verse 51, they closed their ears, they stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. I don't want to hear it. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, not to quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and Ephesians 4:30. I don't want it. Thanks, but no thanks. We grieve the Spirit, Ephesians 4, when we don't do what He says. We quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, especially at that time when they still had the revealing of the Word of God through apostles and prophets, and they said, no, I don't want to hear it. No. And the proud will say no. We always need to be open to the Word of God. Sometimes the proud are unaffected by affliction, by prayer, or by revelation. Can you imagine these people? What had just happened to them. You can still see the city, I'm sure, in shambles, maybe even still some of the smoke rising in some of the places in the weeks and months to follow. And when they're told, don't go to Egypt, no. They're not affected by God's recent affliction. And then they come to Jeremiah and say, pray to the Lord so that he can tell us what to do. And Jeremiah does, and they're not affected by that. And when Jeremiah reveals the whole counsel of God, if you will, they don't want it. And so that brings us to our last lesson this evening. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 18. Brethren, we need to be honest truth seekers. When we say, show us the way, do we really mean that? When we say, pray for us so that we can know what to do, do you really mean that? Or are we just going through the motions? Or are we asking for prayer because that's the kind of the church thing to do? You're just, you know, supposed to ask God in prayer. Do we actually follow it when we get it? These people, we learn, were not honest. So look at Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 18. On the surface, they look really great. Hey, Jeremiah, come pray for us. But we find that they're not honest. Jeremiah 42, 18. For thus says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my wrath has been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, this has just happened. So shall my wrath be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt. And Lord willing, we'll see that in a future lesson. This is going to happen 16 to 18 years later. You can run off down there if you want, but you're going to be meeting Nebuchadnezzar again. My wrath will be poured forth when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. Jehovah has spoken concerning you, O remnant of Judah. Go ye not into Egypt. He's very clear about this. Know certainly that I have testified unto you this day, for you have dealt deceitfully against your own souls. For you sent me unto Jehovah your God, saying, pray for us unto Jehovah our God. And according to all that Jehovah our God will say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. All of that was a deceit. And so I appreciate someone who is wanting prayers and someone who is wanting truth. And Brother Reeves, can we sit down and study the Word of God? I want all of that. But we've got to have, to borrow Jesus' words in the parable of the sower, when the seed falls on the good and honest heart. Not just going through the motions, but we really are honestly wanting to learn in order to do. Verse 21, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of Jehovah your God in anything for which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whether you desire to go sojourn there. We've got to be an honest truth seeker when we come to the Bible, not deceitful, not hypocritical. We don't need to say, oh, Jeremiah, whatever you tell us to do, boy, we're going to do that. Let's be truthful. It's hypocritical to say we will obey and then we do not obey. And that's what happened. Oh, everything you tell us, we'll do. Verse 3, tell us what God wants and the thing that we shall do. They don't do it. We need to be hearers and doers of the word. We don't just simply need to go through the motions. And if we have to make hard changes, and if we have to make changes that run opposite, some of them are wanting to go down to Egypt. They've got it in their minds. When they're told, don't do that, they want to stay with what's in their mind. I've seen that happen so many times. Now, on a positive note, when I have an opportunity to go with others to Ghana, and I'm studying with my preaching brethren there, and we show them all that God wants for them, they're making changes, they're coming out of errors, they're stopping things that they should not be doing. And Benjamin, whom we support there, is one of those young preachers that is willing to be open to the truth, and much of it is running contrary to the way he was raised, but he's wanting to follow the Word of God. And so people can learn the whole counsel of God, and they can actually start doing it. And it's coming at a great cost for him and others, because they will be shunned, or they will be ignored, or it will limit the circles that they were in before, but he continues to stand for the truth. So people can do that. Let us simply do all of what God wants us to do. I'll close with this point, and then the lesson is yours. We need to be someone, brethren, who comes and says, please give me the truth, and be open and honest about that. 1 John 2 and verse 3, hereby we know that we know Him, that is, we know Christ. And the word know in this book and in this context is not intellectual knowledge, but that we're in fellowship with Him if we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him, and keep not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jeremiah, tell us what we're supposed to do, and we'll go do it. No, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. The proof is in the action, not in the talk. The proof is in the action. Whoso keeps His word, in him verily has the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. How? By just the way people are talking? No, by action. He that says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That the Lord thy God may show us the way. What a great attitude and a great approach. But we have to put it into practice. Brethren and friends, let's come to God before we act. Let's come to God for counsel and guidance before we act. Number two, let's make sure that we're getting the whole counsel of God. Let's have an attitude of wanting to obey everything. Let's have an attitude of wanting and being willing to wait until we get God's word. Trust His wisdom, be open to the truth, and be honest. Just be honest. And we will be blessed. This really is a sad statement. These four chapters, just sad. Honestly. It's already Israel, Judah in particular, that they've already gotten judged by God. They've already gotten beaten down, and rightly so. God warned them through Jeremiah for many years, stop your idolatry, stop these other things. They wouldn't do it. They doubled down on immorality and ungodliness, unauthorized things. God brings judgment on them. And it's sad, really, to see in the aftermath of that, in the wake of that, those claiming to be God's people still doing the same thing. It's really sad. But Jeremiah, up to the very end, what a man of faith, what a great man of commitment, all the way up to the very end, tried his hardest to get them to follow God's word. It's sad to see people who claim to be followers of God be so hardened that they won't accept the truth, even after it's been obvious that Jeremiah speaks the truth. How many times did he say? Jeremiah said many times, Jerusalem is going to fall by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So when Jeremiah comes to them and says, don't go down to Egypt, they had proof. They had proof that Jeremiah was speaking the truth. But the key to that whole story tonight is that little verse that says, you've set your faces to go to Egypt. That's the thing. When you've already got your mind made up about such and such, even God's revealed word won't change it. I hope that we never get to that point, but that we're always open to the truth of God's word. As we close this evening and sing this song of invitation, if we can help you in some way to respond to the gospel, if you need to come and put on Christ in baptism, as we're going to sing, there is power in the blood. There's also power, 1 John 1:7-9, for a Christian who is erred. That blood still flows, and there's power to forgive him or her as well. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?